evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza, coming to you live from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan, South Sudan, and the rest of the region this Friday, October 25th, 2024. IGAD panel of judges select journalists working within the regional bloc for media awards.
We envision leveraging the power of media to unite us by rotating these prestigious events annually in the capitals of our member states. The media plays a critical role in supporting IGAD's mission by reflecting the reality of our region.
And residents of Juba's Lologo suburb enjoy peace after gang members agreed to stop night attacks.
Now you can move free, you can stay free. Even this area of ours, it was very terrible. Even some of us, you cannot sleep outside. When you sleep, those people, they will come and crush you.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Member countries of the regional bloc, the Intergovernmental Authority on Development, challenged journalists to focus on positive news from the region. The leaders of the bloc also asked the media to highlight the plight of families affected by the conflict in Sudan. Mamer Abraham Kwart, who also won an award from IGAD, reports for VOA from Malakal.
This year's IGAD Media Awards messages focused on covering stories that promote peace and security as well as response to environment and climate change. Isra Dawood, a Sudanese in Nairobi who fled the conflict in Sudan, says there are numerous reports by Sudanese women who say they were raped by fighting forces.
Many violations happened, and we heard about that in Twitter, and even some people was like asking for help in social media that some of the women went out and never came back, and some people said they heard voices in many buildings in Bahri that women are asking for help. So many women talk about rape and violation against them.
Singoi Korir, Kenya's Principal Secretary, Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Diaspora, encouraged journalists in the IGAD region to also report on stories of solidarity and success in their respective countries.
As you report on stories of fragility, you must also report on stories of solidarity across communities, across borders. You must also report on stories of people, men and women, thinking outside the box to address their challenges. And most importantly, you must report about the story of progress.
Sudanese women who attended the IGAD-sponsored conference in Nairobi issued a statement on Wednesday calling for an immediate ceasefire and access to humanitarian aid in Sudan. Sudanese journalist Iklas Nimir, recipient of IGAD's 2024 Media Award, says she will focus on stories about environment and climate change.
I would like to thank the IGAD organization for providing us with this golden opportunity. I'm honored to be here. This prize gives me great motivation as it inspires me to continue writing in the field of environment and climate change, which is an issue affecting the world.
Iklas was awarded for a story, I Am Not Alone, which highlights the plight of women across Sudan since the fighting broke out on April 15, 2023. Wakni Gebiyeo, IGAD Executive Secretary, says his office will support transparent, accountable, and trustworthy media that happens across all countries of the regional bloc.
We envision leveraging the power of media to unite us by rotating these prestigious events annually in the capitals of our member states. The media plays a critical role in supporting IGAD's mission by reflecting the reality of our region. It highlights not only the challenges we face together, but also, more importantly, our remarkable resilience and substantial success in promoting our mandate of peace, security, and regional integration.
Aden Duale, Kenya's Cabinet Secretary for Environment, Climate Change and Forestry, delivered a speech at the IGAD Media Awards ceremony on behalf of Kenyan President William Samoei Ruto. Duale says freedom of expression could usher in peace building across the IGAD region.
As leaders, we must continue to invest in creating the conditions that allow the media to play its full role in advancing this vision. This includes ensuring press freedom, providing journalists with the tools and the resources they need, and safeguarding their right to report without fear or intimidation.
David Gosney, USAID's Mission Director for Kenya and East Africa, also attended the IGAD-sponsored event. He says U.S. Agency for International Development will support a media that adheres to the tenets of democracy by uplifting voices of people at the grassroots level.
That the media plays a critical role in providing citizens with the information so that they can make informed decisions. Decisions about their democracy, decisions about their community, and decisions about the conversations they need to have with their representatives. And those are all things that we're here to support.
A report by the International Committee of the Red Cross says journalists operating in conflict areas are at risk. According to the nonprofit Reporters Without Borders, 45 journalists were killed worldwide in connection with their work as of December 1, 2023. The group says 521 journalists around the world are currently detained on arbitrary grounds linked to their profession. 18 journalists from the 8 IGAD countries received various awards for their stories on issues ranging from development to insecurity and peace. For VOA News, I am Amira Bramford, reporting from Juba.
Authorities in Western Equatorial State are appealing to the national government to deploy judges to the state to speed up backlog of cases in courts across the state. For VOA News, Matias Samuel Timoteo reports from the state capital, Yambio.
John Ada Wilson, the state minister of parliamentary affairs, says Yambio town has one judge to work on cases.
Yeah, people have to travel all the way from the counties to Yambio.
People have traveled all the way from the counties to Yambio, too. The appeal process is also difficult because if you follow the steering process and you are not contented with the decision of the judge, you are supposed to file an appeal. You have to travel all the way from the county to here in order to follow the process. This is lacking of justice to our people. It makes people to take law into their hand.
Wilson says his ministry asked the national government to dispatch judges to the state, but his request was not fulfilled. Yambio resident Victoria Yotoma says the lack of judges in the state delays the delivery of justice.
One is I've been visiting even the police station custody to see that there are people there who have stayed for 3 months, and according to the law, it is supposed to be 24 hours in the cell. Then the case is referred to the court, then it is judged immediately whether the person is guilty or is innocent. Currently, we have people in the prison who are almost 2 years, 3 years. Others, like my own brother, for example, is now almost 9 months in the prison. His case is not judged.
Wanga Emmanuel is the director of the non-profit Network for Civil Society in Western Equatoria State. He says the national government is doing very little to address issues with justice in the state.
The ministries are in charge of dispensing services, and one of the services is the legal services, provision, deployment of judges, training, and making sure that there are courts which are competent. So this always lead to rule of law in a country. That's why you see there are a lot of people taking law into their hands, people revenge. High level of revenge is, these are all symptoms of lack of rule of law. So rule of law is not a priority for the government of South Sudan.
When contacted by this program, Gabriel Isaac, the undersecretary in South Sudan's Ministry of Justice, says his ministry has nothing to do with the deployment of judges to the states.
It is not the Minister of Justice responsible for the deployment of the judges.
It is not the Ministry of Justice responsible for deployment of judges, but the judiciary. We are independent from judiciary. Our people on the ground are the prosecutors, not the judges. It is not within my jurisdiction.
It is not within by prediction.
The only available figures on South Sudan's judiciary say that in 2013, there were 124 judges in the country, most of them in larger cities. The government websites offer no updated figures. For VOA News, I am Matias Samuel Timatio, reporting from Yambio, Western Equatorial State.
From Yambio, we move to Juba, where residents of Lologo suburb say the neighborhood is peaceful after a June agreement among 16 gangs who used to terrorize residents in the area. Some residents led committee through a party to celebrate peace in the area that was once restive. For VOA News, Dennis Logonyi reports from Juba.
After a series of violent incidents reportedly caused by gangs in Juba's Lologo suburb, residents of the area say they can now sleep through the night until morning without disruptions. They say they expect the relative peace to last indefinitely after gang members pledged to stop attacking residents. Lologo resident Margaret Edwards says the peace deal signed by gang members in June has created a safe environment.
The situation before, it was very terrible, actually. You cannot even move anyhow. It started from 5 p.m. You are just at your home. When you move, those people, they will just rob you on the way. But now you can move free. You can stay free. Even this area of ours, it was very terrible. Even some of us, you cannot sleep outside. When you sleep, those people, they will come and crush you.
Dusman Victoria, another resident of Juba's Lologo suburb, says she can see a marked change in her neighborhood.
Before, it was really worse, whereby you cannot even move at around 7 to 10 there. But ever since they signed their peace agreement, at least we can see any improvement there, whereby you can able to move at around 7 to 10. Sometimes even other people move up to 12. We have that freedom now than before.
Siko Jackson, a Lologo community leader, says residents of the area went through many difficult times in the past.
Lologo by then was Tamas level 4, area where you cannot move at 6. From 5, all the officers who came to Lologo began to go back. Even if you from Lologo and you are in the other side of Kator, the other side of Juba, you say to a border guy that, can you lift me to Lologo? That, no, I cannot. But now people can move. And if you sleep on the way, nobody will touch you.
Dusman strongly advises parents to monitor their children so they don't fall into gang criminal activities.
When you are a parent, you have to know how your child behaves, at what time he's supposed to be home. Because during daytime, you can see your child can pretend as if he's a cop too or innocent, but you don't know what he's doing. But suppose if your child comes home at around 8, 10, 11, there you as a parent, you have to put him down and you ask, where are you from at this late hour? And you have to know which kind of work he's doing.
In June, 16 gang groups in Lologo signed a memorandum of understanding known as Ethical Code of Honor among themselves, committing to cease violence in the area, according to a non-profit called Nonviolent Peace Force. Between 2018 and 2023, 28 members and 11 other civilians were killed, while over 600 people were severely injured because of gang activity in Juba's IDP camp. The group estimates that around 1,200 young people are members of gangs and that the vast majority of gang members are children under the age of 18. For VOA News, I'm Dennis Logonyi reporting from Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Mozambique's election results show ruling party candidate Daniel Chapo winning. Find out why after the break. You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Official results from Mozambique's election show ruling party candidate Daniel Chapo winning the presidential election. The opposition says the poll was rigged and is calling for more protests. VOA's Nairobi Bureau Chief Mariama Diallo covered the elections and has this report.
President Philippe Jacinto Nyusi.
Frelimo Party candidate Daniel Chapo won the presidential elections with 70.67% of the vote, according to results released Thursday by Mozambique's National Electoral Commission. Independent candidate Venancio Mondlane finished second with 20%. The candidate for RENAMO, Mozambique's traditional main opposition party, won less than 6% of the vote. The results cements the power that the ruling Frelimo party has held since Mozambique won independence nearly 50 years ago. Some analysts predicted Frelimo would hold on to power despite the enthusiasm young voters expressed for Mondlane ahead of the vote.
The terrain is already prepared. Regardless of what we see, the enthusiasm, the dynamism of the young people that are rallying behind this opposition candidate, but we know that the status quo will prevail.
Mondlane has said the vote was rigged as his camp was building a case to challenge the election results. Two prominent members of his party were shot and killed last weekend. While some say the shootings were politically motivated, current President Filipe Nyusi, who condemned the killings, warned against jumping to conclusions. Earlier this week, police fired tear gas and bullets at opposition protesters in Maputo, while observer missions from the European Union and Southern African Development Community have yet to give final assessments of the October 9th election. The EU mission said this week that some of its 179 observers were prevented from observing tabulation processes in some districts, provinces, and at the national level. But some analysts say the political rise of relatively young candidates like 47-year-old Chapo and 50-year-old Mondlane is still a good development for Mozambique.
The youth have arrived in Mozambique, and I think that that's a good thing for Africa. And this is the first time that we see a turnover from the liberationist group in Mozambique. And so this is good. I hope that they bring youthful energy and they focus on the issues that are important to young Mozambicans.
Kweku Nwama says those included poverty and insecurity issues in the northeast, where the government is battling insurgents in the gas and oil-rich Cabo Delgado province.
What's going to happen in Cabo Delgado? We've seen the SADC troops leave. Now you have Rwandan and Tanzanian troops over there. Are they going to stay? In terms of poverty, what's the plan ahead? The World Bank shows that Mozambique's real poverty numbers around like 62%. People need jobs. People need to have some promise, some help from the state.
Meanwhile, runner-up candidate Mondlane has called for 2 days of national standstill and peaceful protest. A spokesperson for the U.S. State Department called on Mozambicans to reject violence and to use peaceful means to pursue electoral grievances. Mariama Diallo, VOA News, Nairobi.
From Nairobi, we move to Nigeria, but we need to give some context to this story. Driving is not only difficult in Juba due to the presence of many traffic police officers on the road who ask for money from drivers. Many Nigerians are objecting to a bill that would create an armed unit for federal road safety corps. The bill, if passed, would ensure the security of road safety facilities and officers, and that the members of the squad would not be deployed on traffic patrols. But rights activists are calling for the bill to be rejected, saying it would lead to intimidation, extortion, and brutality. Timothy Obiazu reports from Lagos.
3 years ago, Opeyemi Folarin was on his way to a wedding ceremony in Abuja when road safety officials stopped his vehicle for a routine check. He says despite presenting all the required documents, the officers accused him of frowning and not cooperating enough. They held him for hours on the highway, forcing him to miss the ceremony.
I wasn't comfortable with them, ensuring that we waste so much time. Yeah, in the thick of the forest, and this is a place not even close to where people are moving from one point to another. So it keeps me cause to worry.
Practices like intimidation, bribery, and extortion by road safety officials are sadly common in Nigeria. The FRSC says it is trying to fix the problem and to hold corrupt agents accountable, but says officials also suffer assault and aggression by road users while on duty. This month, Nigeria's House of Representatives approved a bill allowing the FRSC to create an armed squad. Kende Hamzat is a sector commander of the FRSC.
This arm we're talking about, even if the bill is passed, is not for our men to take to the road. It's to guard our facilities and, of course, maybe some of our senior officers. So it's not that they will use it for enforcement or take it on patrol.
But many, like human rights activist Abiodun Thomas, disagree.
Already they are aggressive, but immediately they start carrying ammunition, they become excessively aggressive. Even policemen, when you look at the ones that are with weapons, they are usually power intoxicated. And do not forget that some of these people might not be mentally stable.
Thomas was recently beaten and arrested by police while participating in a procession at the Lekki toll gate in Lagos to remember the brutal shooting of protesters there by Nigerian security forces 4 years ago. For years, Nigerian security forces have been embroiled in allegations of abuse and excessive use of force. Hamzat of the FRSC has this to say.
Brutality is individualistic. Don't forget, recruitment is done from members of the public. By the virtue of training, everybody is blended to do some things. So among those trainees, some would abide in toto, some would misbehave.
There is also a growing concern over the proliferation of illegal firearms among non-state actors. This week, during an arms destruction exercise, the National Security Office said many of the illicit weapons often used by terrorists and bandits originally belonged to officials. The firearms bill still needs approval from the Senate and President Bola Tinubu to become law. Timothy Obiezu, VOA News, Lagos, Nigeria.
It's time to hear your comments on what we are doing on this show. We welcome you to send us your voice or text messages about what we are doing well and what we should improve on. We start with this listener who records himself.
VOA, I'm Peter Arcangelo from the Republic of Southern Sudan. I like to hear VOA in Africa. VOA, congratulations. Go ahead. We love the news.
Samuel Remo Inyei writes, hello VOA South Sudan in Focus. The intended impeachment of Kenya's deputy president was a good decision made by parliamentarians. We should not respect titles because all of us are equal before the law. Whenever we are working at public offices, we should put in mind that we are servants of the people. Jacob Duer Machueng from Lake State writes, good evening, South Sudan in Focus. The increment of tariff by the three telecommunication companies is a slap in the face of vulnerable citizens of this country. There is no country in East African bloc that has an expensive network like South Sudan. I lost hope in the National Communication Authority, known as NCA, and the Ministry of Information. I wish President Salva Kiir takes a tough decision one day and decree out MTN in particular. Mading Malual Aluang in Juba City writes, the Minister of Finance with his empty promises about salary arrears and promising regular payments is not enough when many workers have endured months without salaries, making it hard to survive under these tough economic conditions. Public servants should not rely on empty assurances, but rather a concrete and immediate solution to the backlog of unpaid wages. The current physical constraints are well known, but the government must prioritize its commitment to those who keep the country functioning instead of issuing vague statements that fail to address the urgency of the situation. Monyluak Ajok Malek in Juba writes, hello VOA, I condemn the incident which happened in Nasir County in Upper Nile State between Ambi Youth and SSPDF. I'm urging our South Sudanese citizens across the country to keep peace and reconcile, stay peaceful among ourselves, including our security forces. Thomas Kuntoch in Old Fangak Payam, Fangak County, Jonglei State writes, "Hello, VOA South Sudan in Focus. The telecommunication company's decision to increase taxation tariffs on network services in the country is going to affect the civil population in South Sudan. The civil population will store their phones at home and return to all the methods of communication before networks came." Hakim Adinga from Yei writes, "Welcome, John Tanza. Allow me to thank the governor of Lake State, Ring Twing Mabor, for restoring peace and stability in Lake State. The leadership of Ring Twing Mabor should be applied in the country to end sufferings of our citizens in the country, more especially the killing that happened in Wunduruba administrative area. There is no water in the city, no salaries for civil servants, and now MTN Digital and Zain have done it again by increasing the tariff while citizens are suffering from inflation. Where are the voices of the people? That is the parliament." Peter Gwoch Anyang Majongdul in Ural County, town of Lanken, writes, "The decision made by Kenyan MPs and senators against Deputy President is a wake-up call to other sitting vice presidents who misuse public funds during their tenure in office. I hope East African leaders learn from this because no one is above the law. All of us should dance to the tune regardless of our political status." Views expressed in this segment does not represent the views of the Voice of America or the management of the South Sudan in Focus. Keep your comments coming. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. Keep your comments brief, to the point, and we shall sample some of them every Friday. That's all we prepared for you this Friday, October 25th, 2024. We now leave you with the song Absuluma by Paret Adams. Listening to Pireti Adams and the song Absuluma, which means in French, in English rather, absolute. For more on our programs, visit www.voaafrica.com. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer Wong, we wish you a lovely evening. Remember to join us next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
no more absolute mom.